January marked the 40th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion, and most people know the polarizing and sometimes violent debate that followed Roe v. Wade. In 1994, not far from our offices, an armed man walked into two women's health clinics in Brookline, killing two people, wounding five. Doctors have been killed in Kansas, New York, Florida. Backers of those killers say the people that they killed have killed babies. It would seem an impossible divide to bridge, but Roland Marullo says we have to try. He's a fiction author who lives here in the Massachusetts area and made his case for détente in the Boston Globe. Roland, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thanks, Robin. Nice to be here.
Well, and you write novels. I'm looking at one, Lunch with Buddha. Why did you wade into this?
I guess I'm a person of strong opinions, and I care about the United States. I hate to see the way the whole abortion discussion has evolved into hatred and finger-pointing and sloganeering. And it seems obvious to me that there is some common ground and that we could build on that and form a new discussion.
You say you're close to people on both sides of the debate, or the battlefield, as you put it. Mm-hmm. And when you mention that common ground, you say it should be fewer abortions. So start, as you do in your column, with the pro-life side. You say that if someone is pro-life, they should also be against abortion, and then what?
Well, first, let me agree with you that I am close to people on both sides of the question, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to write this. I was raised Catholic. I have a lot of Catholic friends and relatives. I understand their point of view. I respect their point of view. I'm more of a pro-choice person myself, and most of my friends are that. Since I'm close to both sides, I don't really see why those two sides can't talk with each other. So the so-called pro-life people, I feel like if you really honestly believe that abortion is killing, you have to acknowledge the reality of the situation, which is Roe v. Wade is not going to be overturned, at least in the near future.
You say they have to acknowledge that because President Obama is perhaps going to appoint some new Supreme Court judges, which will tilt the balance. You're saying, given that reality, do what?
Given that reality, if you are sincere, as I think most of those people are, then what I think you should be doing, where you should be spending your energy, is to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies. Marching on Washington, putting a bumper sticker on your van, those really are useless things. It makes those people feel good, but it does absolutely nothing to solve what they see as the problem.
And by the way, I'm going to jump in and say we're going to get to the pro-choice side in just
a
second.
We sure are.
You're as critical of them. So staying with pro-life, okay, sloganeering is doing nothing. And you say it makes them feel good, but you also point out it's not making them feel good. It keeps repeating that sort of a hatred. So, again, your suggestion is what?
My suggestion is that those people ought to work as energetically as they can to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies. That's where abortions come from. It's an absolute myth to believe that if abortion were made illegal, there would be no more abortions. When I was a student in college, just before Roe v. Wade, I knew a girl who had an illegal abortion. It wasn't my girlfriend or anything like that. It was just someone that I happened to know. And it was a terrible experience. It was frightening. It was risky. It made her temporarily really sick. To say, okay, we're going to overturn Roe v. Wade, that's going to be the end of abortions, is part of what I see as a really foolish, almost, it's a self-deception, I think, at its heart.
And one of the things you say is Catholics should approach the Catholic Church.
I'm no longer a practicing Catholic, I should say that. But again, I do have respect for the faith. I do know a lot of wonderful people who are practicing Catholics. And I feel like multiple studies show that 97 or 98% of Catholic women use birth control. So there's something tremendously hypocritical going on here. If people are saying, yes, we're Catholics, abortion stops a beating heart, abortion's killing, and so on and so forth, and at the same time they're using birth control. So, okay, let's be real about it. Let's say if you're opposed to abortion, if you think it is murder, then you work as hard as you can to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies, which leads us obviously to birth control, which obviously also leads to a conversation with the Catholic Church at every level from the parish on up and saying, you know, let's move into the modern world here and recognize the fact that 98% of Catholic women are using birth control already. Let's stop talking as if they are not.
Okay. We're staying, as we said, on the pro-life side for now. You got a letter to the editor from an Anne Fox of Mass Citizens for Life, a pro-life group here in Massachusetts. She cited research from Catherine Eden of Harvard, Paula England of Stanford, that showed that just because birth control is there, it didn't reduce abortions because they spoke to women for whom it was not a problem to get birth control. In other words, women who had unwanted pregnancies, it was not because they couldn't get birth control. Yeah. Anne Fox is saying there's something else going on. Easier access to contraception appears to increase the population of sexually active people and the frequency of their encounters. And again, she cites this research and says it's not just about the birth control.
In the op-ed in the Globe, I said that there are two things there. One part is the approach to the availability of birth control and a conversation with the Catholic Church and other groups that are opposed to birth control as part of it. The second part of it is an open, fair-minded, respectful conversation about sexual activity, especially among young people. The impediment to that, obviously, is parents don't want somebody else talking to their very young children about sex. I understand that. I have young children. I have a daughter who's 11 and one who's 15. I don't particularly want someone else, especially with the younger girl, talking to her about matters that I will talk to her about and my wife will talk to her about. But really, I would guess that the most active population is older than that. There's some high school kids who have sex, absolutely. But why can't we have conversations on the college campus about sexual life? For example, at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst recently, there was an alleged gang rape. I think rape is a terribly common occurrence on college campuses, date rape and otherwise, and I think that could be part of the conversation. Can't we begin to have a national conversation about sexual activity? My kids and all the kids that I know are bombarded with sexual imagery on the television, on the internet, everywhere they go. But can't we counter that by having a conversation, at least at the college level, if not at the high school level, about saying to people, look, it's wonderful, enjoy it. Sex is a beautiful part of life, and it's also a meaningful part of life. I personally don't think people need to wait until they get married to have an enjoyable sexual life. If someone wants to make that argument and try to convince young people to do that, I think it's fine, but I don't think it's, as I say in the piece, I think that's an uphill battle.
Author Roland Marullo, who wrote that piece and op-ed for the Boston Globe, calling on both sides in the abortion battle to find common ground for pro-life, anti-abortion forces to embrace contraception. And then he says the pro-choice advocates should make clear they are not also pro-abortion, that in fact it's often unpleasant. We'll have more on what he would advise the so-called pro-choice side after a quick break. And of course, we'd love to hear from you at hearandnow.org, facebook.com/hearandnowradio. Back in a minute, here and now.